Over in Israel today, there is a very interesting group of people that are called Bedouins. They're sort of a nomadic kind of a people. They live in tents. They do not plant crops nor vineyards. They do not drink wine. And they have many very interesting aspects to their culture. Basically, the women do all the work. You'll see the women out taking care of the sheep. If the man decides that they've been in an area long enough, he'll tell his wife, get the tent all packed up, we're moving, and he shows her where to put the tent and drive the stakes and will direct her in how to drive the stakes into the ground. After watching the sheep all day, she'll come in and cook the meals and take care of his needs. And he has the important things to do, such as sitting with his friends playing pinochle all day. And when it's necessary to sell the sheep, he does take them to market and he does all of the business transactions. The interesting people, the Bedouins, many fascinating customs, and you'll find them in their tents throughout various areas of the Middle East, but many places in Israel, you'll see the Bedouin tents and those Bedouins still following their ancient culture and living much as did Abraham so many years ago in that land. Now, in the 35th chapter of Jeremiah, there is a group of people whose culture was quite similar to that of the Bedouins. They were called the Rechabites. They descended from this clan of Rechab. And the Lord told Jeremiah to invite this clannish people into one of the large rooms of the temple. And he said, set before them pots of wine and cups and invite them to drink. And so Jeremiah invited these Rechabites into the temple, and he set before them these pots of wines and he gave them the cups and invited them to drink. And they said, no, we do not drink wine. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, said to his sons and family, you are never to drink any wine. You're not to plant any fields or vineyards. And you are to live in tents. And thus they said, we will not drink wine. And the only reason why we are in Jerusalem now is because the Babylonians have already taken the land and we were fearful for our lives and so we fled for safety to the city. But here they were still observing centuries later. They were still obeying this command of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, who told his kids never to drink wine or to sow fields or to plant vineyards. Jeremiah was greatly impressed by these people, by the fact that so many centuries later, these customs would still be instilled in them. They would still be following in obedience to the command of their, you know, great, 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 great grandfather, however many generations back it was. They were still abiding by these simple kind of rules that he gave to them. And then we read that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in verse 13. And God told Jeremiah to go and to tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, "Will you not receive my instruction and hearken to my words, saith the Lord?" The men of Rechab are still obeying the words of Jonadab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine. They are performed, for unto this day they do not drink wine. They still obey their father's commandment. And yet the Lord said, "I have spoken unto you over and over again. I've sent to you my servants, the prophets, and I've called unto you, but you won't listen. You won't obey." Now, God was calling the people at this point to, number one, return from their evil ways, to amend their doings, and not to go after the other gods to serve them. Obedience is such an important thing, to learn obedience. When I was a child, I memorized many, many scriptures. My mother, like the mother of Timothy, sort of just planted the scriptures into my mind and into my heart. And so from early childhood, I memorized the scriptures. The first scripture I can remember memorizing and reciting was, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. For this is the first commandment with promise." Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. And I was taught that the Bible teaches that children should obey their parents, and the importance of obedience. Now, why should a child obey his parents in the Lord? Because a child does not possess good judgment. For safety's sake, he needs to obey the commandments of his parents. My father used to always carry a penknife. Just why, I'm not sure. Just like I'm not sure why I always carry a comb. But I used to be fascinated when I'd see him take his penknife out, open it up, and cut his fingernails. In those days, you didn't have the little clippers, and he used to cut his fingernails with a penknife. I'd see him take out his penknife and use it as a screwdriver, or take it out and cut a rope or something, and I was always fascinated with penknives. And I was always after him to let me play with the penknife. I thought it would be fun to cut things. But he used to say, "Son, this blade is very, very sharp. And you'll have to wait until you're older before you can play or before you can have a penknife." Oh, how I wanted a penknife. Now, I did not understand why he wouldn't let me play with that penknife. It looked like a very fascinating toy. And I desired greatly to just have a penknife, but he would not let me have one for years. And by the time I was old enough to have one, I didn't want one. But it was one of those early childhood things that I was fascinated with and desired, and yet he told me, never play with this penknife. Now, he had a reason for giving me that command. He knew that as a child, I would not know how to handle a penknife. He knew that I could cut myself or my brother or whatever with the thing, and so he always told me, don't touch my penknife. And there was a reason for it. I didn't understand the reasons. I thought I could handle a penknife. I thought that I could, you know, swing it around or whatever, and it would be all right. I could handle it. But I didn't have good judgment and would have no doubt done some damage with that penknife had I gotten hold of it. We don't always understand why God has commanded us certain things, because we also lack in judgment. We don't know what's best for us. There are things that we desire that could be very harmful. And God, in His wisdom, has forbidden those things that He knows could be destructive or harmful to us. And we need to obey the commands of God even though we may not fully understand them. As a child, I did not understand the dangers of playing in the street. After all, it was a great flat surface and a good place to play ball. We felt. But that's because we didn't have the kind of judgment that told us that it was very dangerous to play in the streets. Oh, we thought we could always see the cars that were coming and we'd get out of the streets before the cars got there. But yet it was one of those things that we were taught not to play in the street. Disobedience is actually the very essence of sin. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, He gave them all kinds of liberty, even as God gives to us all kinds of liberty. Liberty to do anything and everything that is good. God gives you total freedom. There's not one good thing that God will prohibit you from doing. Total freedom to do good. God placed only one restriction on them. And that restriction was they were not to eat of the tree that was in the middle of the garden. For eating of that tree would bring death. Perhaps that tree contained certain kind of bacteria that introduced in the body would create the aging process. Nevertheless, whatever it was, they ate. Now, God knew better. But the tree looked so good. The fruit looked so delicious. It seemed so desirable that they disobeyed the command of God. To their hurt and to our hurt. God commanded King Saul to go down and to utterly wipe out the Amalekites, not to save any animals even alive. Saul went down. He defeated the Amalekites, but he brought back some of the animals the finest of the sheep and the cattle. He killed the weakly ones. But he saw these fine sheep and cattle. He thought, well, now, you know, there's no need to kill those. I can bring those back. They're good stock, you know. And as he came back, the prophet Samuel went out to meet him. At this time, Samuel was an old, old man. In fact, he wasn't able to see anymore. And so someone had led Samuel out to meet Saul as he was returning. And Saul said to Samuel, as the Lord liveth, I have done everything God told me to do. And Samuel said, if you did everything God told you to do, how come I hear the sheep and the cattle? And Saul said, oh, well, they were such fine sheep and cattle, I thought I would bring them back in order that we might sacrifice them to the Lord. And the old prophet said, to obey is better than to sacrifice. To hearken to the word of the Lord is more important than the fat of rams. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And in that you have done this, you have done foolishly, and because you have rejected God from ruling over you, God has rejected you from ruling over the people. Obedience. Obedience to the commandments of God is such a very, very important thing. It's for our benefit, it's for our good. Now, God gave to the nation of Israel the Ten Commandments. They were to be the basis by which these people would relate to God. But more than that, these commandments were to be the foundation for society. To obey them was necessary for a continuing society, for no society can continue except it follow the Ten Commandments. They are basic to all culture and development of culture and society. That is the preservation of a society. When you begin to violate these commandments, then your society is in deep trouble and is in disintegration when these commandments are not kept. There's no society or social order that can exist very long that ignores the Ten Commandments. They are the basic foundation to social order. Our poor philosophers through the centuries have been searching for what is good and what is bad. But the Bible said that he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. To obey the commandments of God is good. Not to obey the commandments of God is evil. And it's the beginning of the disintegration of your life and of your society. Things that build you up and make you a better person are good. Things that tear you down and destroy you are evil. And notice God is calling the people, first of all, to turn from their evil ways. They had forsaken the law of God. This was the word of Jeremiah to them over and over again. You've forsaken God's law. And the evil was about ready to bring their destruction. In fact, right outside of the walls of Jerusalem was the destroying Babylonian army. And they had brought upon themselves this destruction because of their evil. But even at this point, God calling them to return from their evil, God would have spared them. Had they turned to God, had they obeyed God, God would have spared them from captivity and being destroyed by the Babylonians. God is calling them to amend their doings. Change from your wicked ways. Yesterday I was driving a van that only had an AM radio. And so I wasn't able to listen to K-Wave. And I turned on one of the talk radio stations. The subject yesterday was the call that Cardinal Manning made to the Hollywood industry to sit down and to talk about the disintegration of our society today. The gang wars, the increase of crime and assaults, the breakdown of the family unit, the general immorality, and how our whole social order is going down fast. And Cardinal Manning wanted to talk to the screenwriters and the producers just to enter into a dialogue to consider possibly less violence, less sex, less immorality, less the glorifying of evil within the films, and produce more family-type films that would promote the moral values, that would extol the marvels of love and goodness and all. And I don't know if when people call in, they screen the calls and they only let the liberals on. Or if that area is as liberal as the people were, or maybe only liberals listen to those kind of talk shows. I don't know. That's possibly it too. But the general impression that you receive from the callers is that Cardinal Manning called everybody to commit suicide. I mean, they couldn't have been more upset. I mean, these people were raving, talking about, Cardinal Manning didn't say anything about censorship. But they were raving about censorship and, you know, how dare he try to impose the church on, you know, our freedoms and you know, and it was horrible, these calls. As people were incensed that someone should suggest that we be decent and that we be moral and that we present decent moral values in the films. They wanted nothing, and many of those that called in were screenwriters and all, but they wanted nothing that would curb their restriction on the anything that sells mentality of Hollywood. Cardinal Manning was, in a sense, calling for them to amend their ways, to change, to see if we can't inculcate into the mind of the people things of value and of good, moral value. Let's change the industry a bit. Let's use this tremendous influence for good instead of evil. The nation of Judah was just about in this same shape that we find ourselves in today. And God was calling for them to change. Amend your ways. And then God called them not to go after these other gods. What were the gods that they were pursuing, worshiping, serving? They were the gods of pleasure. They were the gods of power. They were the gods of sexual excitement and fertility. And God was saying, don't follow after these other gods. They will enslave you. They will lead you into slavery. Slavery to your flesh. Your fleshly desires, they'll take hold of you. They'll get a grip on you, and they will enslave you. But God was calling them to turn unto him, to obey him. And if they would, they could dwell then in this land of their fathers. He would restore, and it would be a restoration of the social order. The family unit would begin to be a very strong unit again. You wouldn't have the social problems of single parenting. Latchkey kids and things of this nature. Just obey me. You see, the basic command of God is to love God with everything you have, completely, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what's so horrible about that? Why should I rave and rant over that? What's so bad about that command? Jesus said this is sort of a summary of all of the law and the prophets. It's just to love God completely and your neighbor as yourself. Think of what that does for a society. Think of how that builds up a society when we do have love for each other and are concerned about each other and each other's needs. When we're not so selfish, and the Bible teaches that this selfish grabbing stuff for myself is wrong, that I need to be considerate and kind, loving, generous. You see, as the scripture said, the commandments of God are not grievous. And God is calling them to return to God, to give up their evil ways, to change their ways, and to give up these false gods. Now, God not only promised that he would allow them to remain in the land, but also he promised that if they did not turn from their evil, if they did not amend their evil ways, then he would bring his pronounced judgment upon them. If you don't, judgment is going to come. Now, basic principles of life do not change through the centuries. What God declared then as true then is true today. To obey God and to follow God will bring you life and peace and joy and satisfaction, fulfillment, and contentment. To disobey God today will bring you death, sorrow, pain, anguish, contention, conflict, and turmoil. Now, maybe these words sort of are a description of your life today. Contention, strife, turmoil, sorrow, pain, anguish. These things always follow disobedience to God. Going your own way. Trying to write your own ticket. And like the people of Judah, maybe your life is on the brink of destruction. Maybe your family's just about ready to disintegrate. And God is calling you. Turn from your evil ways. Amend your doings. Turn from the false gods that have enslaved you. Come back in obedience unto God. And here were the Rechabites, these people. Strange people, interesting culture. Men who lived in tents because way, way, way back, one of their ancestors said to his kids, don't drink wine, live in tents. Don't plant vineyards, don't sow seed. And so here they are living. But the interesting promise, the Lord said, because the Rechabites are obedient to their ancestor, they shall not want a man to stand before me forever. In other words, they'll go on existing. Many great societies have been wiped out. Powerful nations have been extinguished. Great empires have fallen. But here, a clan of people, nomadic kind of people, they'll always exist because of obedience. You know, I wouldn't be at all surprised, but what if they didn't really trace back their genealogies? The Bedouins today would find that they are descendants of Rechab, because they're still following the commandments of Jonadab. They're living just like he said they should. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if all of the facts were known and you could trace the genealogies, you'd find that the Bedouins today go right back to this clan of Rechab. God promised they would never cease. We are living in a day that was prophesied in the scripture, a day when evil would abound. And Jesus said, because the evil would abound, the love of many would wax cold. With evil, there is either the yielding to it or the standing against it. And may God give you the strength and the courage to stand against it. Though we may be outnumbered, and surely if the program yesterday was any indication, we are, I think there was probably 1 in 10 calls that said, well, you know, Hollywood should do something. The rest of them were all incensed. But if that's any indication, we're outnumbered. But yet, God, help us to stand up for what is righteous and what is good and what is pure and what is holy. Let's turn to God. Let's obey God that we might abide before Him. So we pray. Father, we know that we are living in perilous times. For men are lovers of pleasure more than they are lovers of God. And we see the results of that in our society as we see the fierceness of man as he turns against his fellow man, the violence, the incontinence, the strife, the wars. But Lord, we pray that you will help us not to be polluted by the world in which we live. But may we within our hearts vow, O God, to keep your commandments. If a clan of people can keep the commandments of some ancient father, then surely, O God, we can keep your commandments, the eternal Father. And may we dare to obey and to do that which is right and good and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Turn from your evil, amend your ways, forsake the false gods that are enslaving you. That's the call of God to us. And maybe some of you have been caught in the trap of evil. You sort of follow with the world. You become ensnared. Ensnared by the things of the world. Drugs, sex, other things. And you can see their destructive effect upon your life. God's calling you to come back to Him. To obey Him. And He will deliver you. He'll set you free. And you can dwell in peace. And in harmony with God, and thus with each other. I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room. Let this be the day in which you amend your ways. The day in which God sets you free from the powers of darkness. And you begin to live a life of obedience unto Him.